The Renaissance. Section 1. Origins of the Renaissance.
If you were there. You are a historian living in Florence, Italy, in the late 1300s. In your writing, you describe the wonders of your city. But the place was very different only about 50 years before. At that time, the Black Death was sweeping through the city. In fact, your own grandfather was killed by the terrible disease. Some 50,000 of the city's other citizens also died from plague. Now, though, Florence is known for its beauty, art, and learning. How did your city change so quickly?
Building background. By the late 1300s, the Black Death's horrors had passed. In Europe, the stage was set for great changes. Europeans could worry less about dying and concentrate more on living. They wanted to enjoy life's pleasures, art, literature, and learning. Increased trade with faraway lands would help spark new interest in these activities. Trade with Asia. It seems strange that the Black Death could have had any positive results. But that is what happened. You may remember that workers who survived could charge more money for their labor. In addition, the disease didn't damage farmland, buildings, ships, machines, or gold. People who survived could use these things to raise more food or make new products. They did just that. Europe's economy began to grow again. As more goods became available, prices went down. People could buy more of the things they wanted. Trade increased and new products appeared in the markets. Some of these goods came from India, China, and other lands to the east. How did these items move thousands of miles over high mountains and wide deserts? To learn more, we need to go back in time. The Silk Road reopens. The Chinese and Romans did business together from about AD 1 to 200. Products moved east and west along the Silk Road. This caravan route started in China and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. When the Roman Empire and the Han Dynasty fell, soldiers no longer protected travelers between Europe and Asia. As a result, use of the Silk Road declined. Then, in the 1200s, the Mongols took over China. They once again made the road safer for travelers and traders. Among these traders were a remarkable man from Venice named Marco Polo and his family. Look at the map to follow the route of the Polo family's trip. Part of the journey was along the old Silk Road. When the Polos arrived in China, they met with the Mongol Emperor Kublai Khan. He invited them to stay in his court and even made Marco Polo a government official. The Polos saw many amazing things in China. For example, the Chinese used paper money in addition to the coins that Europeans used. The Polos were also fascinated by an unusual fuel source, which Marco later described. It is a fact that throughout the province of Cathay, or China, there is a sort of black stone which is dug out of veins in the hillsides and burns like logs. These stones keep a fire going better than wood. Marco Polo from A Description of the World. This is the first known description of coal by a European. While his father and uncle stayed in China, Marco Polo visited India and Southeast Asia. He traveled as a messenger for the emperor. Marco Polo spent 20 years living and traveling in Asia. Eventually, the Polos returned to Venice. There, a writer helped Marco Polo record his journey. At the time, many people didn't believe Polo's stories. Some people thought he had never set foot in China. Over the years, his reputation grew, however. Polo's description made many Europeans curious about Asia. As their curiosity grew, people began to demand goods from Asia. Trade between Asia and Europe increased. Italian merchants organized much of this trade. Trade cities in Italy. By the 1300s, four northern Italian cities had become trading centers: Florence, Genoa, Milan, and Venice. These cities bustled with activity. Shoppers there could buy beautiful things from Asia. Residents could meet strangers from faraway places and hear many languages on the streets. Ports and craft centers. Italian cities played two very important roles in trade. One role was as ports on the Mediterranean Sea. Venice and Genoa were Italy's main port cities. Merchant ships brought spices and other luxuries from Asia into the city's harbors. From there, merchants shipped the goods across Europe. The other role was as manufacturing centers. Cities specialized in certain crafts. Venice produced glass. Workers in Milan made weapons and silk. Florence was a center for weaving wool into cloth. All of this economic activity put more money in merchants' pockets. Some Italian merchant families became incredibly wealthy. Eventually, this wealth would help make Italy the focus of European culture. How did this happen? Separate states and rival rulers. Look at the map below. Notice that in the 1300s, Italy was not a single country. Instead, it was made up of independent states. These states had different forms of government. For example, Venice was a republic, while the Pope ruled the Papal States as a monarchy. In most big Italian cities, a single rich merchant family controlled the government. This type of government was called a signoria. The head of the family, the signore, ruled the city. Under the signori, trade grew in Italy. In fact, the signori competed against each other to see whose city could grow richest from trade. They also competed for fame. Each one wanted to be known as powerful, wise, and devoted to his city. Florence. In the 1300s, trade goods from Asia poured into Europe. Many of those items came through Italian ports. As a result, the merchant families in these cities made money. As the families grew rich and powerful, they wanted everyone to see what their money could buy. Although these factors affected most big Italian cities, one city, Florence, stands out as an example of trade and wealth at this time. The Medici family. Although Florence's wealth began with the wool trade, banking increased that wealth. Bankers in Florence kept money for merchants from all over Europe. The bankers made money by charging interest. Interest is a fee that borrowers pay for the use of someone else's money. This fee is usually a certain percentage of the loan. The greatest bankers in Florence were the Medici family. In the early 1400s, they were Florence's richest family, and by 1434, Cosimo de' Medici ruled the city. As ruler, Cosimo de' Medici wanted Florence to be the most beautiful city in the world. He hired artists to decorate his palace. He also paid architects to redesign many of Florence's buildings. Cosimo de' Medici also valued education. After all, his banks needed workers who could read, write, and understand math. To improve education, he also built libraries and collected books. During the time that the Medici family held power, Florence became the center of Italian art, literature, and culture. In other Italian cities, rich families tried to outdo the Medicis and each other in their support of the arts and learning. Beginning of the Renaissance. This love of art and education was a key feature of a time we call the Renaissance. The word Renaissance means rebirth and refers to the period that followed Europe's Middle Ages. What was being reborn? Interest in Greek and Roman writings was revived. Also new was an emphasis on people as individuals. These ideas were very different from the ideas of the Middle Ages. summary, and preview. Changes in Italy led to the beginning of an era called the Renaissance. In the next section, you'll learn about the Italian Renaissance, its ideas, people, and arts. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.